Hebrews 10, 1 through 25 that Ben just read reminds us that there is nothing that we could do through sacrifices. Our own sacrifices or the sacrifices of animals that would ever be sufficient to save us. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. We often forget that everything done in obedience in the Old Testament by making sacrifices was pointing forward through faith, through images and types to the sacrifice, the one who would die and take what was done in faith in those sacrifices and make it real, effectual, and make it count. We have all been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. We needed something much better than sheep or a goat, than our feeble attempts, and this, the cross, is what was needed. This is what Israel always needed, what they were supposed to put their hope and their faith in, the future sacrifice. You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. This offering that came is the exact opposite of me and you. Greater than any sheep or goat, like every offering was supposed to be free from blemish, Christ was God himself, sinless in his perfection in every way. Friends, don't forget who was offered up on that cross. This was God himself for our sins. Listen to how John 18 says this. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests of the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said to them, "I am." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. And when Jesus said to them, "I am," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I told you that I am. So you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." If you ever had any doubts to whether or not Jesus Christ claimed godhood, you cannot miss this moment. Jesus says that he is the I am of Scripture. And in hearing this, mere men cannot even stand. They fall to the ground as every knee will bow in his second coming. So they bowed there that night. Yet Jesus, God, allows them to take him, to capture him, and to parade him as if a trophy that they had conquered. First, they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that they would be expedient that one man should die for the people. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teachings. Jesus answered them, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I have said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" And Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, doing nothing wrong. And it was so obvious that even Pilate, an outsider, could see his perfect innocence and glimpses of his kingly divinity. They led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus to him and said, to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." And then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is the truth?" Jesus, the great I am, the God who walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden, the God who met Moses on Mount Sinai, the God who went before and after Israel out of Egypt, through the desert and into the promised land. Jesus, God himself, enjoined to humanity, came to drink the cup that God had assigned to him before time. He came that he might die. He came to bring his kingdom to us and us to his kingdom. Jesus, who, as he said, could have commanded it and his angels would have fought against every force on earth and made a clear path for Jesus to reign without a sacrifice. Yet without a sacrifice, what would happen to us, his people? We would be lost, judged, condemned, apart from the God who we should love and who loves us beyond what we can ever imagine. Where are you and I in this story? We are represented by Peter and a crowd of Jews throughout this section in the pieces that I skipped as we read through. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servants and cut off his right ear. The servant's name is Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" And he said, "I am not." Now the servant and the officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. And so they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" And he denied it and said, "I am not." And one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And Peter again denied it. And at once a rooster crowed. And after he, Pilate, had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Like Peter, we are those who act like Jesus didn't have to do what God called him to do so often. We want to avoid acknowledging the cost and the atrocity of our sins. We want to act like maybe in our own actions, we can fix the problem. We are like Peter, who deny him and call on our life more often than we want to admit. And like the crowd in our sin, we pick someone else. We pick robbers and thieves, those who would take us away from God rather than serve him. We serve idols and passions and our own flesh and the prince of the power of the air, as Paul says in Ephesians. We serve ourselves. And we come today on Good Friday, a day that hardly seems good in so many ways, remembering the blackness of our sin and the darkness of the cost to God to redeem us. His very life, his sacrifice, his blood shed on a tree, his body broken for us. And even in that darkness, we praise our God for such a love as this, that he would lay down his life, not just for friends, but for sinners and rebels. Tonight, we are going to remember Jesus through communion, the same communion that he had with his disciples prior to this gruesome moment, communion that foreshadowed the cost to bring salvation to his people, and remembrance of the God who brought what none of us could bring, true life through death. And today, we're going to serve you communion, a reminder that there was nothing you and I could do. That we could not make this salvation happen for ourselves. We could not bring it down from heaven. We could not find it across the seas, nor could we bring it up from the deeps. God brought it to us. This evening, if you had put your faith in this God who has met us in the very God-man, Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to partake of communion with us. But if you are here and you don't yet put your faith in this God, see, behold, and hear the need you have for a God who could do the one thing you could never do for yourself, which is deal with your sins. Praise God for what he did for us in Jesus Christ at the cross. Lord God, would you remind us again afresh today of the beauty of what you've done for us in Jesus amidst the darkness of that moment, a moment where you placed your wrath on him instead of us, a moment where you looked away from him but looked to us. Lord God, a moment where we received righteousness, where we deserved death. And Lord God, a moment where we saw in the cross and in the brokenness of Christ's body and his blood shed for us, the glimmer of hope, of grace. Grace that you would choose to draw us back to yourself. Oh Lord God, would we find ourselves enthralled with this God, with you, our very Lord, who chose to save us at the greatest cost to yourself, through your own death on the cross. Lord God, would we not rob you of the joy of what you have done for us, the beauty of your life given for us at the cross? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.